You are in the night zone.
The dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled around the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be? Tonight.
There is nothing wrong with your computer.
There is nothing wrong with your audio.
Or your video. We are controlling transmission
for the next hour. And we will control all that is here. Let me repeat. There is nothing wrong with your computer. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind into the shadows of the night zone. Good evening, everybody. Glad you could join us tonight in the Night Zone. This is, of course, a live event. I'm Colin Knight. You are in the Night Zone.
Please don't say it. It's too easy to believe. I'll go crazy. You don't want to any more than me. Decide whatever. Keep it to
the following program is intended for open-minded audiences. All information provided by guests or speaker are the ideas or realities of that person or organization. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality and valued information, Night Zone or its operators do not accept any liability for guest opinions or statements made. And as a valued listener, we remind you always keep your mentor.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and madam and messieurs, welcome to the Night Zone. My name is Colin Knight. It is my pleasure to be your host tonight. Boy, have we got a good show tonight. Ed Fleming, the founder of Finding the Truth on UFOs, will be with us. Got lots of great stuff. Hang in there.
May the 15th, 2009, at 6 p.m., a massive UFO event occurred in the capital of Uzbekistan. Residents claim to have seen a UFO at around 6 p.m. The UFO was seen for 30 minutes before disappearing. Witness reports include foreign journalists, directors of local corporations. The incident has been widely reported on Uzbeki and Russian media outlets. The UFO, which was clearly observable, consisted of two luminous silver spheres, one above the other. The lower sphere was larger and brighter than the higher one. Tonight, Ed Fleming, founder of the Finding the Truth on UFOs.com, is with us tonight to discuss recent and current UFO sightings. You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. Your host, Colin Knight.
Thank you, Mr. Ed Fleming. He will be with us in just a few minutes. What a great time to be alive, ladies and gentlemen. 40 years ago, man landed on the moon. And through modern cutting-edge technology of the day, the President of the United States at that moment in time was Richard Milhouse Nixon. The U.S. government, overcoming massive communication hurdles, actually phoned the moon. Well, they phoned Houston, who patched them to the moon on shortwave.
Go ahead, Mr. President. This is Houston out.
Hello, Neil and Buzz. I'm talking to you by telephone from the Oval Room at the White House.
Here, men from the planet Earth, first separated on the moon, July 1969.
Isn't modern technology wonderful? We can control robot vehicles on Mars from a little space on Earth. We can control satellites in space and turn them and charge them and switch them on and switch them off. we can orbit a space station the size of a football field and repair it with a recoverable ship. Yet we know little about the ocean floors, and we continue to be addicted to oil. So, where were you when man stepped on the moon? July the 20th, 1969 at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening live, 347-324-3287, and if you are on delayed feed, you can always email us at thenightzone@gmail.com. We got some good news from the space station. The 13 people currently aboard the crowded International Space Station can breathe a bit easier now that some astronaut plumbers have fixed the broken zero-gravity toilet. The toilet is one of two orbiting commodes on the space station for the outpost's permanent six-person crew and the seven visiting astronauts from the docked shuttle Endeavour. It flooded on Sunday, forcing Mission Control to ask the shuttle and station crew to hang an out-of-service sign on the door until further notice. Space station crew members repaired the Russian-built space commode by replacing a separator pump and control panel. Having a Canadian female as an astronaut on board was probably a motivating factor. The fix took them much of Monday morning to perform, but in the end, Mission Control declared the revived space bathroom, known as the Waste Hygiene Compartment, or WHC, fit for astronaut use. Robert Fersk, the second Canadian astronaut, said, "Copy, the WHC is go for nominal ops." And before we get to Ed, one more little story. Venus may once have been more like Earth. Volcanic activity and oceans of water. A new map of the Toasties planet's southern hemisphere suggests just that. The map comprises over thousands of individual images recorded between May 2006 and December 2007 by the European Space Agency's Venus Express spacecraft. Because Venus is covered in clouds, normal cameras cannot see the surface. But Venus Express used a particular infrared wavelength to see through them. Venus was Earth-like. Men are from Mars? Women are from Venus? Kind of sounds like a book to me. Tonight, we shall continue our search of UFO sightings throughout the world. Ed Fleming from the FTTOUFO.com website has been following the Uzbekistan lead story and is with us live tonight to discuss it further. Good evening, Ed. Welcome back to the shadows of the Night Zone.
Hey, good evening, Colin. Good evening to everybody out in the Night Zone that's listening.
This Uzbekistan story, I tell you, Ed, you got my attention with this report.
Yes, absolutely. FTTO UFO has received a report on June 22nd of this year. Time of sighting was at 3 a.m. Narration reads as follows: a bright, even light moving slowly north to south with a tail at a 35-degree angle, several minutes across sky, approximately 9 o'clock high, then descended to the north as seen from Borber Park area. Person making this report later amend prior to read double tail, 45-degree angle, and 35-degree V shape.
Now, what would a double tail indicate? It would not, obviously not a comet or a meteor.
Well,
would that create a double tail?
As near as I can tell with the report, that the tail was possibly coming off of the tips of the V itself as it was cutting the atmosphere.
Okay. As it was heating up and as our spacecraft do when they re-enter.
Exactly. I don't know what the odds of the person that made this report would be to listening to this radio show at this given point in time, but we would like to contact this individual and see about gaining some more information about that sighting.
Well, to be honest with you, when I heard the sighting and when we talked about coming to the show, Ed, I did some digging. as I'm prone to do. And the Russian language forums are just a buzzing with this story. The research areas and the UFO buffs are arguing. They're arguing whether it's a UFO or possibly just a meteorological probe. And there's been no definitive talk yet, but you definitely have the talk of the town. It's definitely there.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, and something strange, too. I know this is an entirely different region of the world. Sitting outside and just watching the sky during the evening, my wife and myself, we had been noticing very high in the sky objects moving from either north to south or south to north.
Right. Interesting. What do you think that was, what was from?
I couldn't tell you. All I see is a light moving very high up into the sky, you know, very dim. I know it's not a satellite track. I don't see any transponders on these things. And additionally, we have been noticing pulses of light, if you will. And they go on between 5 to 10 seconds pulse. I mean, they'll pulse real bright, and then they'll fade right out in a different section of the sky. They'll pulse again, fade out.
And are they coming from a certain position in the sky, or is this just random?
Well, basically, when we do sit out there and we watch the sky, we're looking towards Ursa Minor.
Okay.
And that's essentially where we've been seeing these things.
Well, tapping into the MUFON database, are you ready for this? On the 9th of June, Auburn, Washington, 20 seconds, three lights flashing in Auburn, Washington. McKees Rock in Pittsburgh, Pasadena, I think Pennsylvania, sorry. Lightened silent H-shaped object over McKees Rocks. L.A. Murata, California, an extremely bright, sporadically moving object seen flying, then slowly fading into the nothing before your eyes. And the hits are going on and on and on for the last 30 days. It's bizarre. And even from Sheffield, England, Ed, the statement, six orange lights in the sky, not moving, no sound. Then after a couple of minutes, they all shut off one by one. Now, those kind of reports are ominous.
Yes, they are. And that one you just related there pretty much goes hand in hand what we had seen last year. 12 to 14 amber-orange colored objects flying in from the, what was that, the northwest to the southeast.
Right. Well,
in a nice tight group.
Yeah. There was a blog site that I ended up on today, and one of the questions, and I thought it was a brilliant question, came from a young fella. I think he was about 13 years old. But his question was, how come all of these sightings around the world and no one, but absolutely no one has quality cameras or video equipment to capture it without a blurred, smudged, undescribable image? Why do you think that is?
Well, first and foremost, A, it could be quality of camera, and B, not a lot of people actually wander around carrying a camera, but now with cell phone camera technology, you know, people pretty much have that at their fingertips. The speed of the object would cause a blurring effect if they were able to actually catch that image. Myself, with my video cameras, I don't seem to be lucky enough to ever catch these things, or the ones that I am seeing are just way too high up, and I just can't seem to track in on them.
Well, a good friend of mine told me, always keep your camera handy. So I actually went out and bought a new camera and took the camera from the house, the older one, into the car. So I have a camera at the house, camera at the car, just in case. But I just don't seem to be one of those lucky ones that sees anything. So I'm hoping there are more people out there that do see something. Ed, tell you what, we've got to do a minute break here. We're going to do a station break, and we'll be right back. Hang in there, everyone.
Have you seen something in the sky? Had a paranormal experience? Want to talk about it with others who are experienced anonymously? Point your browser at the FTTOUFO.com website and report your experience. Talk with others. Allow their investigative team to help you make sense of your experience. The FTTOUFO.com website. Check it out. On May 15th, 2009, at 6 p.m., a massive UFO event occurred in the capital of Uzbekistan. Residents claim to have seen a UFO at around 6 p.m. The UFO was seen for 30 minutes before disappearing. Witness reports include foreign journalists, directors of local corporations. The incident has been widely reported on Uzbeki and Russian media outlets. The UFO, which was clearly observable, consisted of two luminous silver spheres, one above the other. The lower sphere was larger and brighter than the higher. Tonight, Ed Fleming, founder of the Finding the Truth on UFOs.com, is with us tonight to discuss recent and current UFO sightings. You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Yes, and Ed is with us, and we're looking at specifically the Uzbekistan sighting that's up on Ed's website tonight. Reading through the story, Ed, it's, you know, that there isn't much out there yet. They haven't got to the full story, I don't think.
No, absolutely not. It is widely believed that pictures and video had been taken of the object or objects in question. Nothing, as far as I know, has surfaced yet.
I'm sure it will, and give it time. And remember, this is in, you know, a former Soviet bloc, so they are still coming to terms with the 21st century, unfortunately.
And I'm looking.
Are you there?
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. But, you know, I was looking at... I'm thinking, why would there be a UFO in that area? What is it that they would want? So I checked the region from where this sighting came from, Ed, and it turns out that they mine uranium in that region. Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting. And that would pretty much go hand in hand with a lot of these UFOs that have been seen in and or around our missile silos.
Yeah, that's more than possible, yeah. Maybe it's a heavy military area or possibly a military-protected area for uranium. It surprised me that when I looked at their GDP and the information that I could find, Uzbekistan's economy relies mainly on the commodity production, including cotton, gold, uranium, and natural gas. So I'm thinking, you know, that maybe there was a reason why something would want to look in that area and find out what they're going up to, you know?
Could very well be. But there again, there has been a widespread outbreak of UFO sightings pretty much everywhere. What's really interesting me lately is the large amount of crop circle formations that have been appearing out in England. Recent of which, I believe, was last week, was a weave-type pattern in Alton, I believe it was Alton Barnes, Wiltshire.
Okay.
The crops were basically laid out in a weave-type pattern as if you would find in a basket or in a piece of cloth.
Wow. And this is obviously not man-made. I don't know of any crop circle enthusiast that can... weave the strands of grass and wheat, or what was the field? Do you know what the field was?
I'll tell you right now. East Field, it was the famous East Field near Alton Barnes, Wiltshire.
Okay.
The formation itself is 170-foot diameter woven structure in wheat, with bundles of wheat gently laid aside and woven under other bundles, so that the effect is that of a woven rug or a piece of cloth.
Wow. Well, in Wiltshire at this time of year, yes, they would be in the midsummer in England. So Wiltshire is an agricultural area. Yes, I could see that the wheat would be that high, that they, you know, somebody would be able to manipulate it. But a human would not be able to do that kind of work in the time span that this crop circle was formed, I wouldn't think.
No, absolutely not. Not with that level of intricacy. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Any radiation levels, any anomalies, any readings?
As far as I know, I suspect there has been some testing that has been done. That information has not gotten to me as yet. In a field, I believe it was a field nearby, it was definitely in Wiltshire, an off-duty police officer had come upon one of these crop formations, and he'd seen people out in the field. He got out of his car, and he walked towards the field, and he hollered at the people. He said the people were tall, they were humanoid, blonde, and they took off at a high rate of speed on foot, and they just absolutely paid him no mind. He said he had gone out into the crop itself, and it was crackling like some sort of an energy.
Wow. Wow. Okay, you did it. You did it. You got the hairs on my arms standing up. That's a little too close to home sometimes. This crop circle energy fascinates me, and I've been trying to find somebody that can give me the true scoop and lowdown on this for the Night Zone. And there are a lot of people out there touting their wares, but I have yet to find the definitive crop circle specialist. And I'll find him. And if you find them out there, Ed, or anybody else out there, you send the stuff into the Night Zone so we can book him for a show. But how do they do it? How do they do it, Ed?
I have no idea. We could speculate until we're blue in the face, but there is absolutely no way. I can understand that there has been some fools out there that have put boards on their feet, you know, and they go out there and they try to make some sort of a crop formation. But some of these things are just so intricately designed. There is absolutely no way. It would take let's say, two or three helicopters in the air, you know, and maneuvering the people on the ground, telling them exactly where to go, where to step, you know, where to crunch down. You were talking about a crop circle specialist. Have you ever thought about Nancy Talbot?
Nancy
She's with
Talbot.
The BLT research team out of Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Well, I will. You fire me her email on private mail there, Ed, and I will definitely be making contact with her.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because people need to know. The information is out there, and people do need to know. And unless we're willing to stick our neck out, we're always going to end up just in that safe mode, and we'll never be reaching out into the stars.
Yeah, I fully agree.
So, looking at your site, obviously the Uzbekistan story is the lead story. I ask you each time you come on, Ed, is it getting busier? Is there an increase in concern of people of what they've seen or what they think they've seen?
I don't think any more so than before, you know, as far as concern. My concern is, however, that if people do see something, you know, they need to report it, whether it be, you know, to a site such as myself or to the National UFO Reporting Center, Peter Davenport's site, and let the world know what you have seen. If you're lucky enough to get videos and photographic evidence, don't hold it to yourself for fear of ridicule. Let it out.
Well, you can do it in such a way as it's almost anonymous. You know, that places such as the Night Zone and FTT and UFO Report, you know, we protect our sources to the nth degree. So, you know, there is protection out there. People are scared about being ridiculed. But the information does have to get out there.
Yeah, without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, this has been going on forever, and now we are at a point in our own history here where I feel people are more readily ready to accept, you know, these visitors or whatever is causing them. There's just not enough information for me to come out and say, well, hey, you know, it is alien. You know, I think a lot of what we see in the sky could be military test craft, could be atmospheric phenomenon, but there is that small percentage that you can just absolutely not explain away that defies any type of explanation, and that is the stuff that we need to look at.
I think one of the issues that caught me off guard was I had John Hogue from Hogue Prophecies on beginning of last year and again this year. And one of the things he said was about the age of Aquarius. Let me just cue this up and do a 20-second on this. I think I can do it.
The Aquarian age is a time of greater spontaneity. It's going to be a time where the era of the great faith-based religions of the Piscean age will fade and be replaced by religions that are more scientific. Rather than to believe, the next 2,000 years is about knowing.
You are in the night zone with the calling night.
So the next series of events is about knowing, and that goes with what you're saying, I think, Ed, is that there's going to be an awakening, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But a true awakening would come with some form of a disclosure from our own government. And I don't see that really happening.
Yeah. And I don't see it happening much time soon, to be honest with you. But sooner or later, throughout the show, I ask all my guests the same question, Ed. Do you sense a quickening, a changing in energies? Have your reports become more bizarre or more slanted in one direction than another?
No, not so much. Not so much.
Really? Because the email that we've received, well, some of it should be just ostracized, burnt, and thrown out immediately because of their sickness. But the other email seems to have hostile tones, like accusatory beliefs and angry responses to the what ifs. It seems to me, now this is just me, no real science behind it, but it seems to me like the psychic fuse has been lit. That's what it seems like.
Oh, it could very well be. A lot of it's got to do with religious beliefs as well. You know, as I've said previously, you know, if people were to widely accept UFOs as real, then, you know, that goes against the grain of pretty much everything that they had been taught. You know, we think we're all alone in this great big universe, and in fact, we are not. God didn't just stop at creating us. He created all things, all life forms.
Right. And that doesn't necessarily mean a human being. There may be 1,000,000,000 different forms of life out there in the universe.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, the universe is, well, it's larger than I could possibly fathom.
Yeah. Well, it's bigger than all of us, for sure. We have to take another break. We're at the bottom of the hour. This is where everybody recharges your glasses. Smoke them if you got them.
The Aquarian age is a time of greater spontaneity. It's going to be a time where the era of the great faith-based religions of the Piscean age will fade and be replaced by religions that are more scientific. Rather than to believe, the next 2,000 years is about knowing.
You are in the night zone with Calling Nights.
David Baker is a psychic medium who makes contact with spirit guides, angels, and passed over loved ones. He passes messages of love, healing, and sometimes forgiveness. David is a certified medium and angel therapy practitioner under Dr. Doreen Virtue, PhD.
Check out the archives for the show with David Baker, our psychic medium. And tonight, we have with us the founder of a YouTube group named Finding the Truth on UFOs, performed on the MSN Network and now on PowTalk.com. Come listen to this from around the world and their stories of UFOs. Tonight, Ed Fleming coming up next. You're in the Night Zone with Colin. Phone lines are open 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. You are in the Night Zone with Colin Knight. Tonight, Ed Fleming, founder of the Finding the Truth on UFOs.com, is with us tonight to discuss recent and current UFO sightings.
Praying age is a time of greater spontaneity. It's going to be a time where the era of the great faith-based religion of the Piscean Age will fade and be replaced by religions that are more scientific. Rather than to believe, the next 2,000 years is about knowing.
You are in the Night Zone with Colin Knight.
Yes, it is about knowing. I firmly think that John Hoagie's onto something there, Ed, that it's coming, either a quickening or something is coming where hopefully we will learn a heck of a lot more than we did. I mean, let's face it, this last 100 years, my God, have we come a long way.
Oh, yes, we have. From candlelight and horse and buggy to all the technological marvels you see before us today. You know, it's hard to think that, you know, we as human beings could engineer all this without help. But, you know, it is a possibility that, but there again, you know, you have all these reports such as Roswell, New Mexico, crashed alien spacecraft, back-engineered technology, people that have claimed to have worked on said technology, people that have claimed to actually have seen, you know, the alien bodies, et cetera, et cetera. So, it leads one to wonder that if, in fact, we do have that kind of a technology, do we not have anything more than what you see before us today, such as, you know, space shuttle technology, you know, the space station that's up there now, or could it be some sort of an elaborate type of smoke screen, if you will?
Well, anything is possible because we know that governments don't tell the truth. I mean, that is a given. If there is a story out there, it is not the truth. It is some of it. The misdirection that governments play when it comes to technology and the likes is scary in itself. And, you know, we could even get into the Illuminati show to explain some of that. But someone once said to me, Ed, look how warlike we are. We murder, we butcher, we pollute our world. Why would an advanced race wish to associate with such a primitive being? And I didn't have an answer.
Because maybe they view that we have promise, that we could possibly change and become less warlike, so we could be, let's say, inducted into the cosmic collective.
Okay. Well, you know, that's possible. But it would seem to me that if I was doing a dance by this planet and saw this big, beautiful blue planet in the middle of blackness, and I decided to come in and have a visit, I wouldn't be staying that long, because the first thing that we do when we see a UFO is we automatically scramble fighters and we prepare to bring it down. We don't try and communicate with it. We just try and capture it. We've never been able to do that, as far as we know, thank God. But
much in the way that this new movie that's going to be coming out here shortly, it's called District 9. I don't know if you've seen the previews for this or not yet. The caption on it reads, 28 years ago, they came to Earth looking for help or asylum, and the humans segregated them from... The government segregated them from the human population, and all they want to do is go home. They want to leave the Earth, but yet the government won't let them leave, and they're trying to pump them for information on their technology and their weapons, et cetera, et cetera.
Now you get me. You see, you get me thinking and take me up in the direction that I was trying not to go. Do they identify who this race of beings is in the District 9 preview, or do we have to wait for the movie?
I guess you have to wait for the movie.
Oh, they're not even fair. That's just
no, they're
fair.
Not.
Yeah,
typical.
Well, I've heard lots of stories, you know. I gotta say that the Nephilim, the Anunnaki, that story is really starting to come to fruition, come to gel with information. And we have on next week Marshall Masters from the Planet X, and we're going to be going through some new information that's coming down the pike, and touch base with Marshall regarding this new theory of the dwarf star, which we examined last year, but we're coming back to it because there's been some more revelations, apparently. So it's going to be quite interesting. So Marshall Masters next week, Ed, make sure you tune in on that one. But this Uzbekistan, how can the government keep a lid on this? I mean, this thing was apparently massive.
It's much in the way our government tends to keep a lid on things. And it seems to me, you know, it's quite possibly the Russian government is much more aggressive as far as their secrets are concerned.
But are they the Russian secrets? I mean, if it's a UFO, it's nothing to do with Russia, per se. But I would think that the World Space Council or whatever organization is surreptitiously watching all of these people would have something to say, wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, again, we can open this up to all sorts of speculation, but the end result is, you know, the information is trickling out, albeit very slowly, but it is getting there. And sooner or later, hopefully, you know, we'll have some video to look at or some photos to analyze. And
so this Uzbekistan, there isn't much video or many photos out yet, just the verbal reports to date?
Just as far as I know at this point, that's pretty much all there are, just verbal reports.
Okay, I'm going to have to do a dig for that and go looking for it, because if there is some video or some photos, you know how I like video and photos, Ed?
Absolutely.
So tell me, what else is on the UFO radar on your site this week? What other reports have you had coming in?
Actually, we've had about 10 reports. All of them were drivel, unintelligible. They looked like a bunch of monkeys mashing the keys.
Oh, jeez.
But that's
essentially it.
At least they're not being rude or nasty, you know? I mean, they're just kind of bunch of garbled.
Well, I hang my shingle out to be rude and nasty, and they certainly take advantage of it. The Night Zone certainly receives enough garbage mail to fill a bucket daily, I'm sure, if we were ever to print it out. So, yeah, I do understand. It's unfortunate there are those out there that just want to spoil your cornflakes, you know?
Absolutely. Pour orange juice into your cornflakes.
Yeah, it can be bad. They don't want the information out there, and they have no other way of stopping you. So, you know, they start throwing the silliness. We have to take a quick break. Hang in there, people.
The Aquarian Age is a time of greater spontaneity. It's going to be a time where the era of the great faith-based religions of the Piscean Age will fade and be replaced by religions that are more scientific. Rather than to believe, the next 2,000 years is about knowing.
When we return, Ed Fleming, founder of Finding the Truth on UFOs, or a site that has been around for over 10 years and still going out scholars from around the world give their special information on finding the truth on UFOs. Ed Fleming will be with us for the full hour. Phone lines are open 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Thank you. You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com. All background music and bumps can be found at GarageBand.com. Support your local artists.
Listening to BlogTalkRadio.com.
Ah, yes, good old BlogTalkRadio.com. They do a heck of a job bringing us.
You are in the Night Zone with Colin Knight.
And in the Night Zone tonight, we have with us in the shadows Mr. Ed Fleming from the FTTOUFO.com website. So, Ed, looking at the sightings that are starting to pop up all over the place, what's your take on the increase? Is it just because of technology, or are more things happening, do you think?
I'm thinking we are pushing towards something monumental, something that we as a species probably have experienced long ago, but, you know, in recent memory, recent human generations, we haven't had that kind of opportunity. And it could be largely due to the incoming Nibiru, or the 10th planet.
Right. And change, yeah, that would kind of fit with the thought process that I was given some time back regarding why people are so on edge, why are they so confrontational, why is it that our world seems to be filling with hate?
Definite change in vibrational energies.
Yeah, and that may account for it. I did see a video a couple of days ago, where a gentleman was claiming that the planet X, or the brown dwarf, as he called it, was going to come close to the Earth, which is going to be the start of the pole shift. And that pole shift will take 3 or 4 days to complete, but the inner core will shift, and everything will be back-asswards, so to speak.
Yeah, it's probably going to shift a whole lot more than it already has. I've noticed since about 2000 until now, it appears that we have tilted at least slightly. The sun, at least, I don't know, by my compass, doesn't set absolutely due west anymore, and it doesn't rise due east anymore.
No,
it sets more to a northwest and rises more to a southeast.
Well, I have a Google tracker that shows me the exact location of the North Pole, of magnetic north, not the North Pole, of magnetic north. And right now, it's about 10 miles off the coast of Siberia.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's where it's traveling, and it has been moving. It moves every year gently. You know, it's barely noticeable, but magnetic north is about 10 miles off the Russian coast. If you want to get absolutely perfectly technical for a compass reading, so everything else has been shifted to accommodate that. When in effect, like you say, east is no longer east, west is no longer west. So you know, I could see where a race of beings that are far superior than us wouldn't want to deal with such primitive beings right now. I really don't think we're flying the right flag with all of the hate and the violence and the murdering and all of that going on in the world.
Well, that could be too. You know, I've noticed slowly there's been a push, basically, such as the election of an African-American president.
Yeah.
Here in the United States. That's something that, let's say, my grandfather, my great-grandfather would never thought, you know what I'm saying? Would never have thought possible. And well, we're seeing this now. And we're seeing a sort of a unification, if you will, a coming together of different species of human, or, you know, we're all the same species, but you know what I'm saying, the different races of humans.
And we are coming together. I mean, we are more of a melting pot now than we've ever been. And I do understand where you were going with the reference to the African American president. As I was a very young lad, I remember segregation very, very well, and I never thought that that would be overcome, even though Martin Luther King Jr. Demanded that we shall overcome. And it didn't just mean black people. It meant white people, too, to overcome. So going off the subject a little bit as far as the paranormal is concerned, but I often wonder, Ed, when listening to paranormal information, why is it that we only seem to make communication with people that have been gone several generations? Have you noticed that?
Yes, I
have. There seems to be a time barrier, doesn't there?
Yes.
I wonder what that's all about.
Well, it's just, I guess with each generation, you know, we awaken a little bit more.
Yeah, maybe so, yeah. Maybe so. So what's on the horizon for the FTTO UFO website? What have you got planned for the next coming couple of months before we have you back again?
Well, keep on keeping on, both with our forums and, you know, keeping up with our sightings report, updating of the website, things of that nature. Basically, you know, it's summertime. I'm going to try to catch as much as I can on video and, you know, see what turns out.
Yeah, the summer seems to be the maintenance time, doesn't it? I'm running the flagship by myself most of the time now. Blog Talk, their system allows for that. But all hands are on deck. It takes two or three people to be able to put a show together so that it goes off and makes it look like it was actually natural to do. So I see that you have a site on Blog Talk Radio. I see an FTTO UFO radio show up there. When is that going to air?
We were thinking about airing that, but, you know, that's still on the drawing boards.
Okay. Well, keep us apprised when that's going to be so we can give you some drops and shift you some listeners, because you always bring me quality information, Ed, and I do really, really appreciate it. So I'm a listener, and I have a paranormal or a UFO experience, and I want to tell somebody. So I come to your site, right?
The FTTOUFO.com website. At the top portion, you will see a series of buttons. The second one in is sightings reports. We have an online sightings report form. You can fill that out and send that to us electronically. Or you could email me at edwardfleming@fttoufo.com, and I will post your sighting. Additionally, at some point within the next month, month and a half, we're going to go with a UFO hotline where you can call us.
Fabulous. Fabulous. And may I suggest to that UFO hotline, Ed, go Skype. It's the way to go. Skype programming is the way to go. And it affords you a very good international communication for less than $5 a month.
That is excellent.
So Skype.com, you tell them that I sent you. No, don't, because it might up the price. You never know. but go Skype, because that's the communication connection that is becoming internationally known. As we broadcast tonight, we are broadcasting on Skype. And however, the landline has dialed in as the host. So I'm actually in as a guest, which is another neat function of Blog Talk Radio. So Skype is definitely the answer for what you might need there, Ed. And I'll tell you the rest of that. I won't do a Skype commercial on the Night Zone, although maybe I should. Maybe there's money in them there.
On May the 15th, 2009, at 6 p.m., a massive UFO event occurred in the capital of Uzbekistan. Residents claim to have seen a UFO at around 6 p.m. The UFO was seen for 30 minutes before disappearing. Witness reports include foreign journalists, directors of local corporations. The incident has been widely reported on Uzbeki and Russian media outlets. The UFO, which was clearly observable, consisted of two luminous silver spheres, one above the other. The lower sphere was larger and brighter than the higher. Tonight, Ed Fleming, founder of the Finding the Truth on UFOs.com, is with us tonight to discuss recent and current UFO sightings. You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com.
And you are in the Night Zone, and you're in the Night Zone with Colin Knight and my guest, Ed Fleming, as we move into the final eight or so minutes, Ed. What do you think these discs that they talk about in the reports, how big do you think they were? I couldn't seem to get a boundary on the size.
Neither can I. The information that has leaked out is not too oh, God, I'm getting tongue-tied.
Explanatory.
Yeah, exactly. They're very sketchy at best.
Yeah.
You know, obviously they have seen something. I've done a search here just moments ago, as I've done just yesterday. And, again, there's nothing but, you know, the text reports. There's no photos. There isn't any video available at this point.
Yeah.
You just have to keep our eyes open.
And I'm sure there will be video. And if any of our listeners out there do get video regarding the Uzbekistan UFO, make sure you send it either to the FTTOUFO.com website or send it to Blog Talk's Night Zone website. And you can see our emails and everything up on the Blog Talk page. So, you know, make sure you do that because that's good information. And your eyes out there are part of the windows to the soul of the universe. We can't all be in the same place at once. So we look forward to you helping us out there. So with all of these sightings and the release of information, the Brits are releasing an incredible amount of paranormal information. Have you noticed that, Ed?
Hang on a second. You kind of broke up there. Could you repeat?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I said the Brits are releasing an incredible amount of information as far as UFO and disclosure is concerned.
Oh, yes, they are. And they should be applauded for that. In fact, Lieutenant Colonel Halt of Rendlesham fame. Are you familiar with him?
A little bit, but very minor.
You know, well, the Rendlesham Forest incident that had happened, that where the military officials had said an alien craft had come down in the woods. They got audio recordings. I guess some video was taken. It was later, you know, tried to be disproved, saying that what they had seen was actually a lighthouse, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Lieutenant Colonel Halt admits a cover-up. In fact, there was, in fact, an alien craft that was there at that point in time.
Uh-oh. So, and what happened to the alien craft?
The alien craft went upon its own way, took off, went its own way.
Holy Toledo. And this is in book form now? I missed this story, but there's 100,000 stories that I still have to catch up to.
Okay, I do have this particular story up on our forum.
Okay.
So
if you go to fttoufo.com, register in and get a forum ticket or a forum pass to get into the forums, then all of this information is there for people to dig and poke and peck at.
Absolutely.
Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous, Ed. And you have a number of forums within the website?
Yes, we do. We cover everything. We have, let me see, a general message board where you can talk just about anything, Space Watch board, the Bible and ET, that's a bit of a taboo subject, UFO information board, ghosts, cryptozoology.
Wow, impressive. Impressive. Well, that's some good stuff. So the fttoufo.com website, people should check it out, and let's get some traffic in there. And if you have any reports of UFOs or paranormal events, fttoufo.com. How am I doing so far?
Excellent.
Okay. So in closing, as we move into the final couple of minutes here, Ed, how can people get a hold of you again?
Okay, they can either contact me through the website or they can send an email to edwardfleming@fttoufo.com.
Okay, so...
And that information is also available upon the website, so...
Yeah, so just head to the website and all of the links and everything will be there for people to find out where they're going, right?
Absolutely.
So what do you think the next move of NASA is going to be now that this is the final shuttles, delivering the final pieces of information to the orbiter, and apparently the space station is going to be abandoned eventually, not too long?
Oh, that may be, that may not be. This could be a window to the introduction of some new technology, maybe a new space plane.
And I've heard rumors, but I haven't seen any actual drawings yet. But hey, that'll also get out onto the internet, as will everything else, I'm sure.
Well, we know ourselves over the past few years, they've been holding contests, essentially, on which company could build the best space plane.
Yeah. The X project or whatever it's called. Yeah, that's
exactly.
And they've done it. I mean, they proved that they can do it commercially. So Virgin Atlantic, they're building a space pod in New Mexico, and they're going for it. So
exactly.
We're at 2 minutes, Ed. It's been an absolute pleasure, sir. Let's have you back in a couple of months and get up to date with where you're at.
Okay, great. It's been a pleasure.
You take care of yourself, sir, and blessings upon your household.
You too.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Fleming, the founder and owner of fttoufo.com, one of the better websites out there for UFO and alien encounters. I strongly suggest that when you get the chance, scoop up there, because it's worthwhile. For our live audience out there, if you would like to chat with our guest, the phone lines are open.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Or if you are a registered listener, www.blogtalkradio.com. Well, unfortunately, you cannot phone in live as we move into the final one of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a blast. My name is Colin Knight. Blessings on your household. Hey guys, got a minute? I'm sure we all have friends that are having tough times, either financially or in their marriage or in their general relationships in life. But for the grace of God, go I. Well, I have friends like that. As they look to me for advice, I look to the heavens for some form of divine inspiration so I can please the masses, I hear. And it doesn't always happen. So what I would like to say to you tonight is, if you have friends, embrace them. If you have loved ones, cherish them. If you have acquaintances, respect them. And if you have love, show them. God bless you all. Good night.